I wish I knew a lot more than I do know. I know Nick was in this morning and met with Chris and Dr. DeLuca. I asked to see Dr. Dorsheimer and expect them results back today. And then Mike went and got an MRI. I don't have the final results of that. So
Nick took testing?
Yeah, I think he took the impact test and then is in the process of seeing the doctors, but I don't have the final answer right now.
Chip, you're halfway through the season. What have you found most challenging about being an NFL coach, and how difficult has it been to absorb as many losses as you have?
I think no matter what level you coach at, the losing is tough to absorb just because that's ultimately not what we're looking to do. So, I think the challenges at each and every week is that you're going to play a formidable opponent that is talented, and it's got to take your best effort on a weekly basis in terms of preparation and then getting ready to go play a game and then going to play the game. So, there's obviously at the college level, you can just look at the differences. There's haves and have-nots at times when you're going out there, and it's not like that in this league. Every week is a battle, and that's what the whole deal is all about. But I think that's the exciting part about being here. I don't think that's a negative part of being here.
So what's the protocol if Nick passes the test? What happens then?
I'm going to wait till I get all that information. So
in the last 14 games, Michael Vick's missed 7 games, and Nick Foles missed 2. There's a chance they can miss more. You've always said durability is the best ability. How do you weigh that factor when you're looking at the quarterback position and moving forward?
You have to look at the injuries, and I think that's part of us making a decision on where we are, But I can't say I'm going to play this guy if he's declared out. But you also look at what the injury is. Is it something that has been a thing that he's had over and over and over? Is it a recurring thing that you think is going to happen again? Or is it a one-time thing that you hope it's been cleared, and he can move on and can play from there? So.
And so today's the game plan day for the coaches. Do you put the game plan in place for Barkley at this point, knowing that's the one you definitely have?
No, today's first down for the coaches. So, we don't put in the entire game plan on Monday. Monday's first down, second down openers, Tuesday's third down, Wednesday's red zone. So it's kind of, we parcel it in as the week goes along. So,
Will the first down plays be prepared for Matt Barkley today? Or?
They're going to be prepared for you.
That won't be good for you.
No, again, we don't change very much, and that's the one thing that we did. If you watch what we're doing with Matt and with, if we had, I said it earlier today, if we have 10 pass plays that we're going to call on first down, we got them all up, but then Matt may like, 2, 6, 8, 9, and Mike may like 1, 3, 7, 8, it kind of varies as we know who's in and what the situation is, but that's kind of how we've always approached it. So, we're not going to say, hey, Matt's in, so now we're going to be an I-formation team and our fullback's going to be up and we're running ISO and we're doing all those other things. We're not going to change really what we do. And the plays Matt ran on Sunday were the same game plan that we're in for Mike. We didn't really have any, knowing where Mike's situation was, we weren't planning on, running design quarterback runs in the run game with Mike, knowing that he was coming off of what he was coming off of. So I don't think it really changes drastically for us as a coaching staff in terms of putting together our first and second down thoughts today.
Could Matt have run on those read options? I mean, there's a lot of talk by the announcers about big.
Yeah, we ran one that we missed, there was a mesh problem, I think, with Bryce kind of banged into him a little bit, and I don't think it was a clean read for him, and that was really the only one we called. Everything else, there was a bubble pass or something else kind of tagged onto it, so it wasn't a run read. So I think there was only one that we called that, Matt, it was really truly reading the defensive end. So,
do you evaluate Matt differently in a game following a week that he didn't have, that he had limited reps with the ones? Is that part of the equation of evaluating his performance?
No, I think we got to evaluate him how he goes in there. I mean, that's just the deal. It's no different than when Nick went in against the Giants. He didn't get many reps that week in that game. He got the same amount of reps that our number two quarterback usually gets, leading up to it. And that's just the difficult thing. I don't care if you're the Philadelphia Eagles or the New York Giants or whoever you are, your number two quarterback's not going to get a lot of reps during the week, and that's just, how it's sliced. There's a certain amount of reps that your number one has to get to prepare for the opponent that you're going to play. So that's just how you have to deal with it,
Because Mike re-injured the hamstring and everything, are you expecting him probably not going to be able to play on Sunday?
I'm going to wait till the determination, but Mike didn't seem like he was going to be ready this week. Every week, he felt like when I talked to him the first time that he thought he was going to be back after the Giants game. This is the first time when I talked to him that he thought he may be out. So, we'll see when we sit down and visit with him after they get the final results and I talk to Chris and talk to Dr. DeLuca.
Jason Avant was saying that he thinks that teams have kind of figured out what you guys are doing. I mean, is that the case, or is it the quarterback uncertainty, you know, the different guys going in and out, they're not making the right decisions, and they're tipping something off, or how do you...
No, I don't think that people have figured out. I mean, you can turn the tape on and watch six games of whoever you played, and I can tell you what they're going to do. I mean, I can tell you what Peyton Manning's going to do, but you still have to stop them, you know, and they still have to execute them. You know, I watched Aaron Rodgers last night, first touchdown pass to Jordy Nelson, where he whizzed it by the kid's head before he had a chance to turn around and put it right in the money where Jordan, it's the only thing he could do was catch it. You know, I think it's still about executing, and I think everybody kind of knows in going into the game plan, you're not going to surprise people eight games into a game. And so we have to run the right depth on our routes. We have to catch the ball when it's thrown to us. We have to put the ball on people when people are open. We have to hit the hole when the hole is there. We have to create a hole if the hole's not there. I mean, that's just executing football, so...
With that being said, do you have the right guys to execute the plays?
Yeah, I believe we do. I mean, we were successful for six games, and the last two, you know, if I look at the last two and just analyze what the situation is in both games, we got to our third quarterback, you know, and I think that's a difficult proposition, you know, especially when you don't have a lot of reps for those guys to go around and practice, so we got to execute it. But, you know, we got to get ready and prepare for Oakland and put a game plan together that's going to give us a chance to win.
You talked about Foles, you know, not having the first team rep, but how much more difficult is it for a rookie, you know, to step in?
It is. It is. You know, Nick was here a year ago, but Nick wasn't here in the system. But Nick's there's always that experience factor. And does Nick have a year experience on Matt? Yeah, obviously he does. But I don't think Matt played poorly. I think he made a bad decision at the end of the first half, which I think he knows he made a mistake. And we got to chalk it up from there. But there were some positives that I myself, all our coaches, when you look at the tape that you can get from Matt's performance that you can really build on. I think he's got a good understanding of what we're doing. He puts the ball on people and gave a guy's, you know, chance to run and catch. You know, I think he's got a bright future. So it's unfortunate for Matt, and both times he's been in the game, that's been his chance to go in the game. It's because we've had an injury at that position and we're down. And then, you know, this is kind of what we got to do at that point in time. So
you mentioned that you called a timeout down by the goal line because you wanted Matt to calm his nerves. What exactly was
the... I just wanted everybody to settle down. We had a great drive going. We got the ball down there. We had three timeouts. There's no reason to rush and get up to the line of scrimmage and put ourselves in a situation. Let's go over what we're going to get. This is what we're going to do. Here's our low red zone play. We hadn't been in the low red zone yet. You know, we got down there. We talked about it. Went to the first play we were going to run in the low red zone. Everybody on our team, I think, knew what we were going to run first down there, and we just didn't execute it.
I was just thinking, because the follow-up play, if you're concerned about Matt's nerves, then why put him in a situation where he's going to make a bootleg?
That's the first play we've run since day one here. So, you know, it's we're going to go to kind of what we know the best, and what everybody should understand is what we're going to go to. If you ask everybody on our team, I think they knew what we were going to call in that situation.
Not to belabor that onside kick too much, but...
You can
understand it. So if you kick it deep there, they're deep in their own end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stop them within a, you know, four or even eight downs, they're kicking it out of their own end,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have decent field position in the back of the field.
Yeah, with limited time on the clock.
Yeah.
Because we only had one timeout.
And you had the two-minute warning.
You know, we factored that in. If I had three timeouts, we probably wouldn't onside kicked in that situation. If we didn't use the two timeouts earlier in that series, then it would have been a different situation for us. So, you know, we were taking a shot at could we recover the ball then and give ourselves an opportunity to capitalize and see if we can get something. You know, we consistently go back and look at what we've done from a practice standpoint. With Alex has hit that ball at 11 yards every single time. They're going to have one guy at the point of attack. We got two guys going at the point of attack. Felt very confident in our ability to execute it. And that was a factor that's going into my decision of doing that. So, you know, didn't work out. So then, you know, you're going to get second guessed.
If Nick is cleared and he's healthy, does he start against Oakland?
When I get all the information on the health of our quarterbacks, I'll tell you who our starting quarterback's going
to
be.
Sure, but he's going to bottled up.
It depends. If Nick's not cleared, then that's another discussion we have to have. So until we get all the information about it, then we'll make a determination of kind of where we are. But if Nick's not cleared, then and Mike's out, then we only got one quarterback, then we're going to have to do something. So.
Sure, we talked about the instability yesterday at quarterback being part of these problems. How many other things are a problem right now with your offense beyond the quarterback?
Well, you just hope that if you're a little unstable at quarterback, we can kind of lean on something else that can kind of help us kind of get through those murky waters. And I think, you know, that's where as a group, we got to do a better job of let's take a little bit of pressure off. We don't have to throw it every down because we're running the ball so well. You know, and it's just that, you know, I thought we drove the ball, you know, at the beginning of the second half, you know, down in there, and it's the same exact thing. You get one negative yardage play, then you're backed up, you know, and it's the little teeny things, and that's what we talk about all the time. We try to really emphasize the little things, because the little things – can rear their ugly heads. It's the difference between, you know, do we convert and keep that drive going, or do we not convert? You know, do we just stick our foot in the ground and go forward for one more yard? That one more yard could be the difference on the next play of us being able to get a first down. So, you know, a lot of us have to be able to. It's not all on the quarterback. I said it earlier. It's on all of us, is that we have to do a better job as a total group, you know. And but I have confidence in the group. It's the same group for six games that we were on track to set records, you know. So I don't think it's not like we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and start over again and say, hey, we got to do something new here. It's that, you know, we need to settle down. We need to make our playmakers got to make plays. We got to go back to doing the little things. I think some things have been positive for us. I think we've, by and large, have cut down on the penalties on the offensive side of the ball. I think we're doing those things right. But, you know, do we get to the right depth on a route? Can we get up the field a little bit better? Can we catch the ball and go forward instead of going sideways? Little teeny things like that add up over the course of a game, especially when every play counts. And that's what I think all of us have to do. And I think we got a bunch of guys that are ready to do it.
Are you noticing a trend at all of just the ball not being able to get to tight ends, whether they're coming out against pressure or going deeper in pattern, just your tight ends not really being as involved as you like in the passing game?
It depends, and I think, you know, the Giants played us a little bit differently than they played us in the first game. It just depends on how you're going to play us. Are you going to match up in man? Are you going to do it in zone? You know, and I think I don't think it's a trend, though. You know, I think it's in one week someone's going to have a better game than someone else has. You know, that's just kind of part of what we do. But that's where I think everybody has to contribute, because when you are called upon, then you got to make a play. You know, you got an opportunity when you're running a shallow cross and the ball's put in your hands, you got to catch it. You know, and I think that's part of it. Everybody stepping up and everybody kind of, you know, pulling their weight, so to speak.
Well, it seemed like there was an emphasis last week during practice on the offensive line and running game, at least from what the offensive linemen were telling me, and getting the running game straightened out. It didn't really happen. Was it something the Giants did differently, or were you just not getting the blocking, or what?
No, I think we have the same emphasis every week in terms of what we're trying to get accomplished, because I don't think you can be one-sided. But, you know, in the last 2 weeks, we haven't run the ball the way we've needed to run the ball. And it's a combination of the backs hitting the hole when the hole's there and the offensive lineman creating a little bit more movement sometimes. And you just can't say it's just this. If it's just this, it would be an easy fix. If we're not, you know, we're not hitting it the way we're supposed to hit it, well, then we got to fix that this way. That, you know, one play it works perfect, and then the next play it doesn't. You know, we're supposed to hit the ball up inside the pull-up block, and we don't hit it up inside the pull-up block. You know what I mean? It's just we're just kind of off a little bit, and we need to get back into that rhythm.
Jim, you said that execution is obviously paramount, but adjustment is part of the game as well. How do you feel you're doing in that department, and what kind of learning experience has it been going up against some of these top-flight defensive coordinators?
Yeah, I think when you're going into a game, you have a plan, and then obviously every plan's got to change as the game starts to unfold because of what you're seeing and how that game kind of expresses itself. So, you know, you're kind of poking and prodding and saying, hey, will this work for us? And then all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of punch, counterpunch. Then they make a maneuver, then you come back the other way with it. So, you know, the last 2 weeks we haven't been good at it, you know, and it's just the way it is. The end result is the end result. You know, it's no matter how you look at it. But we haven't been productive on the offensive side of the ball, so we haven't done a good job in those adjustments.
If you look around the league and the teams that are winning and have won, it's probably an obvious statement, but these are all pro caliber quarterbacks, so they're butting out all pro caliber quarterbacks. Do you need, going forward, do you need a quarterback of elite status of that level to make your offense play at its optimum capabilities and
the optimum capabilities?
A lot of questions going on through, but to really get the offense clicking as well as it needs to be, and then going forward to get this team back into the playoffs?
I don't look into the all-pro aspect of things. I just think we need consistent play from that position, along with consistent play from the other 11 guys. You know, we had a drive coming out of our own end. We threw two passes. Matt put the ball on the money. But we're not deep enough on one route, and we're shallow on another route, and we don't convert a first down. So, you know, in those situations, he did put the ball where it was supposed to be, but we just didn't convert. So, I think you need everything. You know, it's not just the quarterback. It's the receivers. It's the offensive line. It's the backs. It's the teams that are successful usually have pretty good guys around them too. So, you know, that's the one thing about this game that is: do you need to have a quarterback to be successful? Good quarterback, yeah, but usually the good quarterbacks have guys around them that are pretty good too. So, it's a combination of all of that.
Both players had 2 week injuries and they did not make it past halftime for their first game back. It's a small sample size. But are you looking into what's the clearance for a guy to play or what you're doing leading up to a game?
We look in that with everybody, you know, and I think that if the injuries were similar, I think you'd have a little bit more, you know, was it the same exact thing? You know, Pat's injury is different than Mike's injury, but you always have to analyze that. You know, you can kind of look at Pat and say, if Pat was going to be out for this amount of time, when you go back in hindsight, you may have put him on IR with a 6-game return or an 8-game return, you know, in terms of, because you're not sure how long he was going to be out. But, you know, the progress that he was making early, we thought he was going to be back and actually went out in the Tampa Bay game and played a little bit, but then couldn't play any longer, you know. And then in hindsight, you're going to say, yeah, we you know, we got to look at it. But we look at that all the time when guys are returned and when they're not returned, and then kind of what their history is, and then kind of, you know, we got to analyze everything as we go through it. So
if you need to put GJ up on the 53 and he's number two, assuming Michael and Nick, I know it's a big assumption, but if they can't play, where is he as far as you had him through the
I'm not assuming anything, and I didn't, you've already bumped him onto our roster. So
I'm just saying, I mean, he's obviously with you and he's at practice.
He is, but until and I'll say this for the last time, until I know exactly where our quarterbacks are, I can't tell you what the future of
his
going to be.
About GJ and where
GJ is a great competitor. He's done a really good job for us. He's got a good understanding of our system. One of the reasons we did bring GJ back is because he can do so many different things for us from a practice standpoint. He's an unbelievable special teams player. He plays wide receiver for us. He plays defensive back for us. He filled a lot of roles, and that's one of the things we needed. We need another arm in here, but we also needed some other set of legs in here. So to bring in a quarterback that could just throw, at the point in time last week where we felt where we were at the quarterback position, it was just who's the best practice player out there that can be a multi-purpose practice player for us. And that's what GJ is right now.
If I could ask you about the decision not to keep the field with the 50-yard field goal and everything.
Yeah.
On the play before, Matt was sacked and lost 5 yards. Did those 5 yards kind of make the difference as far as the decision was concerned? In other words, like, would you have kicked it if it was 45 instead of...
It depends on the distance, but if you looked at it, there's a pretty good wind, and I don't think there's any comparison. I was asked a question after the game with the 60-yarder going the other way. There was 60-yarder with 9 seconds to go in the game. In the first half, and I wasn't opposed to putting our defense on the field. There was 9 minutes and 32 seconds to go in the third quarter when we made that decision. And it's ironic because the New York Giants had the ball on the 32-yard line in the last drive of the game, and they elected to punt, not kick a field goal. So kicking the field goals this way, no one was hitting them in warm-ups, and we weren't going to be able to hit it then. So were we a little bit closer? We were going to have that conversation. Usually when we get to those situations, Coach Phipp is right next to me, and I just turn to him. He's the expert at it. You know, what do you think? Can he make it from here? Can he not make it from here? And, you know, when we got pushed back in had the ball in that situation, because it's going to be a 32 plus 8, a 50-yarder in that situation going into a stiff win. He just didn't feel like that was a good situation to put Alex in at that point in time. So.
Let's take two more guys.
Getting back to the run game, LeSean McCoy, I know you said everybody has a piece of it. What have you seen from him the last 2 weeks? He seemed a little frustrated with himself the past 2 games.
Yeah, I think LeSean, to his credit, is his own worst critic. You know, I think he takes a lot of responsibility in terms of, you know, his numbers have been down the last 2 weeks. I think sometimes LeSean's just trying to press too much, you know, and trying to hit a home run on every play instead of maybe letting it develop. And sometimes we talk about line get us two, back get us two. You know, then it's 2nd and 6. You know, and then maybe we'll call the same play again. And now it's 3rd and 2, and 3rd and 2s are a lot easier to convert than 3rd and 12s. But if, you know, we start to move east-west and we're not getting our shoulders square to the end zone and starting to get the ball downhill, then I think we get into some situations that are tough to get ourselves out of. And when you find yourselves on 2nd and 12s, and then, you know, maybe you're going to throw it on that down, you don't convert, now it's 3rd and 12, it's tough. I think when we're successful offensively, we're kind of playing downhill football. You know, 1st and 10 goes to 2nd and 5, 2nd and 5 may convert, or 2nd and 5 goes to 3rd and 1. Those are a lot easier to call. Those are a lot easier to convert. Everything's a lot easier on. And I think at times, because of LeSean's competitiveness, I think at times he's trying to hit the home run, you know, and it's one of his strengths too. So it's the tough part where you kind of regulate it, because there's times where you're like, no, 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 great run, big guy. You know what I mean? That's what you get with him. You know, so it's tough to, you know, how much do you reel him in? You know, and we've talked about it, and I think that's why he's frustrated. I think he's frustrated in himself, because there's some things there that I think, you know, he's leaving some yards on the field, and I think he wants those back. But, you know, I think that's one of the qualities I love about the kid.
As far as the defense goes, I mean, a couple weeks ago you mentioned Fletcher kind of jumped out of it. Anybody really from looking at the
in this last game? Yeah, I think, you know, up front, three guys, Fletcher, said, and Clifton Gathers had an outstanding game. I thought our run defense overall was outstanding. You know, D'Amico again, you know, standing in there being a leader, getting around the ball. Michael Kendricks probably had his best game. Maybe could be a little bit better in coverage, but, you know, having, I think it was 11 tackles. I think our safeties and our corners were involved a lot more in the run game. They were trying to push, crack, and support a little bit, and the ball got spit out to those guys. So, you know, I think our defense has done over the, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, as I said, and I'll tell the players, I don't think there's anything else our offense needs to look at except our defense. You know, they've stayed the course. They've worked continually on their techniques. We haven't added a lot of new things for those guys. We continue to let them feel comfortable in what we're doing. And then on a weekly basis, I see them getting better and better and better, you know. And so, you know, when we meet again tomorrow and I talk to our team about it, you don't really have to look too far on what the formula is for success. Is that you need to go back out there. We need to continue to work. We need to get a better understanding of what we're trying to get accomplished as a group. Not one person has to do it all himself. You know, we all got to kind of contribute. But I think on defense, we got 11 guys really contributing. And well, even with the, you know, the sub packages, a lot more than that. You know, and everybody's over there kind of thriving off each other, and they're doing a really good job. And I think that's where we got to get back to on offense, which we were like earlier in the season. For the last two games, we haven't been there, but we got to get that fixed going, getting ready to go play Oakland.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.